We're back on the Yarbrough here, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, and just plain right. We are momentarily having a call come in here from someone who I highly respect and love and admire. And actually, he's on now. So we have our current state auditor and the man who is running for Secretary of State, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Representative. So good to be on with you. I appreciate the invitation, as always.
Man, yeah, absolutely. I'm honored to have you on here. And always, your opinion and perspective has been invaluable and helpful over the years, and your perspective. And so obviously, you're currently the state auditor. And you've made some big decisions to run for an even bigger office, kind of in this unique situation with Alabama politics, where all these statewide offices have come open, and there has been all this kind of movement that, you know, either maybe was kind of forced because all these seats came open and some people termed out. And here we are in a situation where you are running for Secretary of State to serve, to continue to serve the people of Alabama. And maybe just talk for a minute about tell people your journey from the State House to where you are now and why you're running for Secretary of State and why that matters to you.
Well, it was an unexpected journey, to borrow the title of a book. And, you know, I thought when I ran for the legislature, first of all, I didn't even know if I'd win. I was running in a district that had been Democrat for 150 years. Thankfully, I did win. I got about 52.5% of the vote in that race back in 2018 and served the 2019 through 2022 legislative sessions in Montgomery. Worked mostly on the issues of constitutional carry, which was a gun bill, and civil asset forfeiture reform, got that bill through in 2021, as well as some good local legislation I was able to get done. During that time, I also ended up carrying legislation for my predecessor, Jim Ziegler, as state auditor. I picked up a bill and carried it for the auditor's office, and in doing so, got interested in the position of state auditor. And I realized Jim was term limited and could not run again. So I discussed with my wife the possibility of running statewide in 2022. And we did. We got in the race. There were five of us in the race at the time, and I was polling in last place at 3% of the vote. And I have a habit of starting at 3%. That's also where I started for state representative. Thankfully, I'm not starting that low for Secretary of State, so that's sure. Good. I got a little bit of name ID built up.
Yep.
But was able to win that race in a runoff in 2022. Have really enjoyed serving as state auditor the last 2.5 years. And when Wes Allen told me that he was going to be running for lieutenant governor, that his current seat of Secretary of State would be open, I knew that was the right race for me, just as I'm so passionate about the topic of election integrity. So that's kind of a quick overview of how I got here.
So when you talk about election integrity, obviously that's a big deal. I was just listening to the radio today, and it was talking about how that Democrats in 2020, they pushed hard to include all these like 15, 20 million or how many ever it was illegal aliens in the census. And there's this obvious battle going on in the context of we see how SCOTUS has accepted a case Louisiana with redistricting that could affect Alabama's, you know, situation there as well. And so there's this battle with census, with redistricting and how we draw maps and who gets to vote. You know, we're seeing all these illegal alien situations pop up and these horrendous crimes, even in Alabama. And so, you know, in the context of obviously wanting to have just laws that are carried out and that, to quote Romans 13, that the civil magistrate could be a terror to those that do evil and a rewarder of those that do good. Election integrity, that's something that obviously in a representative government like we have is incredibly important and incredibly meaningful to reflect the morality, values, and cultural stability of a people. Because I mean, it's inherently, you know, one of the critiques that people like, you know, maybe a land of a monarchy and a parliament might make of America is, well, your politics can be extremely volatile, you know, with changes every 4 years. But the reality is that I think if you have an honest election system, that volatility gets mitigated with a very quickly correcting system. As Dr. Grant said, a friend of mine, mutual friend of ours, that on rare occasion, politics should matter a lot so that most of the time it matters little. So how do you view, as you campaign, how do you view some, or what ways do you view that you can make some key improvements and some fixes to our voter system, which is good but can be better, to make sure that we, for generations to come, have a voter system that will accurately reflect the will of Alabamians?
I think, first of all, you've got to realize that Americans as a whole are very accepting of elections. That is, if our candidate loses, that's okay. It's very rare you go into the voting booth and you vote and there's 37 things on the ballot and all 37 people you vote for win. That never happens. Right. I don't think I've ever filled a ballot out and every person I voted for won.
Right.
That's fine. As long as we realize that the elections are fair and square, we can live with losing. Yeah. Now, that's what rubs me and some of the other people the wrong way about the 2020 election is I don't believe it was fair.
Yeah.
I believe that in Pennsylvania, they violated the Constitution, which says very clearly when the date of the federal election is. Now, if you want to allow, if your state wants to allow absentee ballots to arrive up to 10 days later for a state election, that's a state-by-state issue. But for a federal election, Constitution says first Tuesday after the first Monday in November every 4 years, not up to 10 days after. Hmm. Then you look at Arizona, and you see 40,000-plus illegals, likely illegals, on their voter rolls. Well, Trump lost Arizona by 11,000 votes.
Yeah.
Now, nobody can say for sure, but let me ask a rhetorical question. Do you think those people were voting for Trump or Biden?
Yeah.
You know, and was that enough to swing the election? I think it was. You saw the information, disinformation, I should say, with the Hunter Biden laptop situation, 52 intelligence officials saying that the story was a hoax. It wasn't a hoax. They knew it wasn't a hoax. That influenced the election. Then you had the effect of big tech, all the censorship and everything. Thankfully, a lot of that has gone away with Elon Musk purchasing Twitter and rebranding it to X and Facebook. I mean, Zuckerberg's now giving money to Trump's inauguration fund, you know?
Yeah.
Things have wildly swung back to being more fair with Trump's reelection. But there's a whole lot more work to do. You mentioned the census. Yes, I heard today that Trump is going to order a new census, and it will only include actual legal citizens. What a novel thought.
What a shocking idea.
We struggled with this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I said, what a shocking idea. It's just that we should have to even say this. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you end up having to fight in a way that you don't really believe you should. Mm. So, for instance, if California is counting their illegals and we don't count ours, then we lose representation and they gain it. Well, we know we shouldn't be counting the illegals, but if the other states are doing it, then we have to as well. And that's the situation we found ourselves in 2020. Mm. Same way in 2024. You know, Republicans, by and large, are not big fans of the early voting, mail-in voting, all mass mail-out ballots, all those things. We don't like those. We believe in election day, not election month.
That's
There's a right and a wrong way to do elections. But if the Democrats are pushing early voting and it's legal in these states, Donald Trump pointed out, look, we got to quit fighting with one hand tied behind our back here.
That's right.
Because all the Democrats go vote early, and on election day there's a tornado and people don't go vote, and then the Democrats win.
Yep.
We can't do that. We've got to win the election and then go change
That's
the
right.
law.
That's
so
right.
Same thing with the census here. We have an opportunity to right a wrong. The illegal shouldn't be counted. And in Alabama, you know, Wes Allen just identified 3,251 likely illegals on our voter rolls. These are people that had, in many cases, a foreign national driver's license. Mm. Well, how does that happen? How does a foreign national get registered to vote in Alabama? I did a lot of research into this because I wanted to know the answer to that question. And the answer I came up with is it all ties back to that 1993 National Voter Registration Act, more commonly referred to as motor voter.
Mm.
And these foreign nationals are legally allowed to get a driver's license. Let's say they're here on a student visa or for whatever reason, they're here legally. But they're not citizens here. Well, they're allowed to drive and get a license. That doesn't mean we need to register them to vote. But sometimes the little box is getting checked that says, register me to vote.
Yep.
And in some cases, when we call those people, we being a Board of Registrars members in the state, call them and question them, say, why are you trying to vote? You have a foreign national driver's license. And they say, I didn't register to vote. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Somebody is just clicking the button at the DMV to register these people, and they're ending up on our voter roll. So there's a whole lot of problems. So I could talk to you a long time about election problems we still have. Thankfully, a bill did go through this year. Wes Allen pushed this bill, and it was that you couldn't use a foreign national driver's license to vote. You know, you were there. You probably voted for the bill.
I did. Chairman Treadway carried that bill. And in fact, when he got up and pointed out the issues, you know, on the floor of the House, some of the Democrats got up and said, oh, it kind of mocked him and made fun of him. Like, you know, well, there's not anybody trying to use, you know, foreign national IDs or driver's licenses to vote. And I got up and I said, oh, yes, there is. And I pulled up the article from 1819 News where they blew the story. Baldwin County poll worker blows the whistle on allowing migrants to vote. And she was the people who were teaching and the poll watchers and the poll workers were instructing them on accepting foreign national driver's licenses as ID for voting.
That's unreal, but you know, it's not surprising. The more of a deep dive I do into Alabama elections, the more problems I see. I'll give you a quick example. I have a registrar. I won't tell you where. I don't want to call her out. But this registrar called me up and said, Andrew, I got a concern. I was processing voter registration the other day, and I came across my son-in-law. I said, well, why is that a problem? And she said, because he's not a citizen. And I said, oh, okay, well, that is a problem. He was here on a student visa from Egypt, got a driver's license. She called him and said, why are you trying to register to vote? And he said, I didn't register to vote. They must have just clicked the button.
Wow.
So there are loopholes in our system like that. We've got to make sure that the only people registered to vote in Alabama and that actually do vote in Alabama are actual U.S. citizens. Unfortunately, John Merrill lost a lawsuit in federal court back in 2015. The Beeson-Hammond Act of 2011 laid out a lot of rules dealing with illegals, not just to do with voting, but one of the sections of that bill dealt with voting, and it talked about verification of citizenship in order to register to vote. That issue got taken to court, and because the registration was valid for federal elections, they said it violated the 1993 Federal Voting Registration Act, and we actually lost that in court. So we are not allowed to verify people's citizenship when they register to vote in Alabama any more than asking them the question, are you a citizen? And that question is on the form. And yes, it's against the law to lie and say you are a citizen. But if they do lie, if they check that box, we're not allowed to verify.
That's the craziest
thing.
Isn't that crazy?
Show us a driver's license. Show us a passport.
That's just insane. I mean, it's illegal, but it's illegal to hold them accountable. I mean, what a that's just crazy to me. You know, I saw something.
Well, and the Save Act. The Save Act at the federal level solves this problem. And it is passed out of the House, but it's stalled in the Senate. And unfortunately, we don't have 60 Republican senators, so we don't have a filibuster-proof majority. And I don't think that that act is ever going to become law at the federal level, at least not in the next year and a half, until we have another election. Hopefully, we can get some more Republicans elected. But that's ultimately what we need. We need to overturn that portion of the 1993 NVRA.
Do you think they will use the nuclear option in the Senate? I know that's been talked about.
Well, I guess it could. That cuts both ways.
It does.
Kind of like when the Democrats started not requiring a filibuster-proof majority to confirm lower-level federal court justices.
Sure.
And then when the Republicans took over, we used it to confirm to the Supreme Court. We took it to the next level and said, hey, you started it.
That's right.
We ever just change the rules in the Senate and eliminate the filibuster, yeah, that might be great in the short term. I don't know how it would play out in the long term. Now, I know that I've heard Congressman Brooks talk about this issue on the radio before. It's his opinion that the way the Senate should work is a simple majority. That's how it was set up to work. And these artificial rules we put in place dealing with filibuster-proof majorities and whatnot all need to just be gotten rid of because they're, in effect, unconstitutional.
Sure.
So, but without getting into that debate, I don't have anything to do with the federal level. I can't control what they do. I do know that the SAVE Act needs to become law.
Yes, and amen. Real quickly before we hop off to a break here, I saw something where Texas, I think it was, passed a law. Alabama, correct me if I'm wrong, we require ID in order to request a mail-in ballot, but we don't require ID for the final stage of submitting the mail-in ballot. And I saw Texas had passed a law. I haven't done a deep dive into that. I just want to get your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, that is mostly correct. What you said is mostly correct, but there are exceptions. If you're over 65, if you're disabled, things like that, then you don't have to show an ID. But again, all that goes back to federal law. We, in many areas, we don't even have control over our own elections because of what the feds have passed.
Wow. Well, it is high time that we reassert state rights, state sovereignty. Certainly, we feel like we have an administration in D.C. who will help us get to that end, hopefully quickly. And Andrew, I've always respected you as a man of courage who will do what's right even when it's hard, will stand against, if need be, the currents of whatever, if it's wrong. And I appreciate you putting your name out there running for Secretary of State. I respect your work. I'm grateful for your work. And I look forward to watching and see what God does in the future with the upcoming elections. And thank you for all that you do as auditor. And thank you for educating the people, putting this truth out there so we can know what's going on and what we need to do to make Alabama a place of safety and security for generations to come. So this is Ernie Yarbrough, Right Side Radio. Thankful for the opportunity to get on the airwaves, speak the truth, bring people on, share what's right, and have that freedom, that American freedom of the First Amendment to speak and to know that truth in the end always wins. That is the Right Side Way.